Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
We're going to move on and have a look at Hollywood star Will Ferrell, who's purchased a stake in Leeds United. The investment is expected to be announced in the coming days, with him not expected to be involved in any of the day-to-day decisions, which would be interesting if he was. So why is the sport becoming so attractive, particularly for US investors and indeed celebrity ones at that? Well, for more on this, we're joined by Gavin Cooney, soccer writer with the42.ie. Morning, Gavin.
Morning.
Will Ferrell, he's a minority investor. Insert pun here. Santa's elf comes to Leeds, whatever you're having yourself. What's in it for him, though?
Yeah, I suppose, well, potentially money, I suppose, if you're investing in English football. Various American celebrities and capitalists and billionaires are rushing into English football, not because they're misty-eyed about the FA Cup or going away to Stoke City in midweek, but they see money in it. So potentially there's a return in it for Will Ferrell, and he's one of a number of celebrity investors at Leeds United. So the club has been taken over by the group that owns the San Francisco 49ers, the NFL franchise. And Ferrell joins other celebrities involved in the club, including Russell Crowe, and then the golfers Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. They also have a minority investment in there. Like you say, he's not going to be making too many big decisions. I don't think he'll reprise the boardroom role we saw him in Barbie, for instance. But, you know, he's a friendly, recognisable face that'll earn Leeds a little bit more kudos, a little bit more media coverage, and maybe is a kind of an acceptable the acceptable face of kind of American corporate capitalism.
And it, just in terms of the business end of things, is there an element of buy low, sell high on this? How are Leeds' fortunes at the moment in terms of buying in and getting good bang for your buck and acquiring a stake?
Potentially, it's always hard to know because the sport is so much more volatile than American sports with relegation and so forth that doesn't exist in America. Leeds know all about it because they were relegated from the Premier League last season, although they finished third in the Championship this season and are in the playoffs starting this weekend to get promoted back into the Premier League. And if you make the Premier League, that is the land of milk and honey. You know, it's one of the richest sports leagues in the world. Its growth and it's got massive international growth, which is fueling this level of investment. So it is potentially a very lucrative business.
All right. And does this help shift some Leeds United merchandise on the other side of the Atlantic?
Certainly can't help, can it, especially with the face of Will Ferrell, a popular figure like himself, involved. So definitely, it would definitely help in that respect, yeah.
All right, as you say, I mean, it's not the only club that's benefiting from US celebrity money coming into it. Wrexham is another one, Ryan Reynolds getting involved there. Tell us a bit about that and how that's gone since, I suppose, the initial high-profile investment went in.
Yeah, so like guys like Will Ferrell at Leeds, and we've had Tom Brady at Birmingham. These guys are kind of friendly faces on investments. They're not making any decisions themselves, but the actors Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds are making the decisions. They've invested in the kind of previously pretty moribund club Wrexham, ploughed loads of money into it, and it's going very, very well. They got promoted from non-league to League Two, and this season they've got promoted from League Two to League One, which is the third tier in English football. So it's been a roaring success, and they've attracted an unprecedented amount of attention to the club. And the way they've done it is by this Disney Plus fly on the wall documentary that's brought out every season called Welcome to Wrexham, which is a means of advertising the club and bringing in some revenue for Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, which it does create a very interesting question. Like, what does a football club actually exist for nowadays, Colm? Like, is it an old kind of community enterprise there to represent the local area and provide recreation for the people who work all week? Or is it another branch of the entertainment industry? Is it there to be bought and exploited by rich people to make themselves richer? And I think Wrexham are a kind of an on-the-nose example of, well, the reality is it's the latter.
All right. I mean, you've mentioned, I suppose, the people who've invested in Leeds United are a franchise, the NFL. That's the NFL model of investment. There's also been, I suppose, what people might view as a fairly problematic model of US investment in the past, the Glazers and Man United.
Yeah, the great trick the Glazers have pulled is that they've convinced everyone that they've left Manchester United when they're actually still there, sucking more money out of the club. So the Glazers took full control of United in 2005. They've made an absolute fortune for themselves, despite the fact that for more than half their ownership, United have become a bit of a laughingstock, really. But because it's so, the club is just so wealthy, it's almost a license to print money. So the Glazers have taken over the club. They've as the fortunes on the field have declined, they've made an enormous amount of money out of it, and they sold off 25% of the club last year to Jim Ratcliffe, the petrochemical billionaire from England, and the Ineos group. So envisage them as a kind of a viceroy of United for the Kings over in Florida. So Ratcliffe is now running the club, but 75% of it still belongs to the Glazers. So as it stands, the Glazers family have made around about £1.75 billion for themselves out of United, despite the fact that the team has not been successful and that they're widely reviled among match-going fans in Manchester. You can see that you don't even have to do very well and you can still make a fortune at this business.
Right, and Old Trafford, the stadium, is in tatters.
It's the club has been put into an almost a kind of a managed decline. I mean, you'll see videos on social media of like leaks in the roof at Old Trafford, and this is the kind of thing that Jim Ratcliffe has been brought in to, or has bought in to improve. He's talking about building a new stadium, or at least overhauling Old Trafford, so he'll do that job. But obviously the Glazers, this has all happened under the Glazers' watch, and again an amazing trick to pull to be able to have Jim Ratcliffe buy a quarter of the club and then have to do all the work.
And is that the business model that's attracting people? Not to cast any aspersions on the motives of Will Ferrell, but is that the attraction in US investment in UK and other clubs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Todd Boehly, who has fronted an American group called Clearlake Capital, who bought Chelsea after they were effectively taken off the Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich a couple of years ago after the invasion of Ukraine. He described Chelsea as a distress asset in the media and technology space, which is unbelievably boring corporate language. But that's how clubs are viewed, that they're effectively, you're buying television product, almost a piece of intellectual property that is have hugely loyal fans around the world who are willing to pay to watch your matches on a twice weekly basis. Especially these American owners have explored other avenues and revenue streams abroad. They've seen a massive increase in the amount of TV money that they're getting from territories abroad, particularly in the United States of America. And what's going to be interesting to watch is at what point, like how the game will ultimately be reshaped to suit these owners' pursuit of money, because that's what the Super League was. You know, it was an effort to create a breakaway competition which wasn't subject to the volatility that European soccer is subject to, with its relegation and the fact that you can miss out in the Champions League in a season and all the riches that entails if your performances drop off. And another thing to watch on this front, Colin, I think, is for how much longer will English Premier League games be played solely in England? So FIFA initially were talked a couple of years ago about bringing in a rule forbidding teams from playing league games outside their own national territory, but they've seemingly given up the fight. So
is this like mini money spinning exhibition type matches? Is that what you're talking about?
They do the exhibition matches in pre-season. We're talking about like real Premier League games with everything on the line, that's part of the competition. The Premier League thought about it about 15 years ago and it binned the idea because everyone hated it, but it may come back because the Spanish League, La Liga, they're going to play some of their regular season games abroad, likely in America in advance of the 2026 World Cup. And if we know anything about the Premier League, they're not going to look at rival clubs and suck up money in America that they could be making. So one thing to watch is, you know, I think it's a pretty realistic prospect that in the next 2 to 4 years we'll be having a round of Premier League games littered across the globe. So rather than watching games from Manchester and London and so forth, it'll be California, Los Angeles, New York, Singapore, wherever else.
And which of the big footballing countries then are most resistant to this in terms of, you know, where the fans have a say? I think the Bundesliga's fans are quite influential, but you know, is there also foreign money making attempts to get into leagues like that?
Yeah, I mean, Germany is the great holdout, isn't it, among the major leagues, because of how the clubs are structured under their 50+1 rule. It effectively means that all clubs have to have supporter representation, and no major decisions can be made without the assent of supporters. So that has stopped the kind of massive US investment and indeed nation state investment into the German Bundesliga that we've seen in England and in other countries, including France and Italy as well, in fairness. So Germany are really the model at a major level for the rest of Europe, and look at the results. Okay, Bayern Munich didn't go their way last night, but Borussia Dortmund are into the Champions League final. Bayer Leverkusen are dominating will probably be coming to Dublin in a couple of weeks in the Europa League final. The standard in the Bundesliga is very, very high, and it doesn't seem to be suffering for the lack of this US and Middle East investment.
All right, do you want to call the result between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid?
Yeah, look, only an absolute clown would write off Real Madrid at any point in the Champions League, so I'm not going to fall into that trap. So I'm going to back Real Madrid.
All right. But it has been Bayern falling out of the competition, and as you say, Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund advancing so far. It's a bit of a change of fortunes in the Bundesliga, which kind of has to be welcomed, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. Like, you don't want to see the same few teams dominating the Champions League, even as we know that Real Madrid are about to win their sixth European Cup in 11 seasons. But for sure, like, I mean, German football and the Bundesliga more broadly is a bit of a model for the rest of Europe, I think, because when clubs fall into private hands, anything can ultimately happen. So if Germany can show that you can remain competitive on an international stage while having those guardrails and firewalls up against that private investment, then it's only a good thing in my view.
Okay, Gavin Cooney, soccer writer with the 42.ie. Thanks for all of that.